broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting news that networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for April the 17th, the year of our Lord, 2021. This is our two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live. Wow, last hour we talked about a lot of crazy stuff, folks. Yeah. I don't even know how to respond to a lot of this discussion that we're having here on the radio in modern times. Idaho plan to make it the third biggest state. That's by area. They want to annex part of Oregon, part of northern Washington, and part of northern California to make a new state. I'm not really for it. I think we need smaller municipalities. I think we need greater representations in those smaller regions, not necessarily bigger regions. Big, massive, warring blocks don't sound fascinating or good to me at all. All right, I digress. Let's start now with our guest, Sheriff David A. Clark, Jr. If you're looking for compromise, you've come to the wrong place. I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. AmericasSheriff.com. Welcome back, Sheriff Clark.
Sam, it's a pleasure to be on with you, and hello to your listeners.
Man, what's going on with you these days? I know you've been doing so many different things. You've obviously been the former sheriff of Milwaukee, Wisconsin. You've been the president of America's Sheriff LLC. You've been on an advisory board member of We Build the Wall. You've authored a book. You've done a lot of things. What's happening now, sir?
Well, a lot. You know, it never stops. Making it more local now. I came back to Wisconsin, where I'm from, born and raised. I was living out east for a while, helping the Trump administration with their policies and promoting what they were trying to do very successfully, by the way. And, you know, after a while, I just, you know, my initial plan was just to go there for a couple of years and help them get started with their super PAC, Trump super PAC, America First. So I thought I'd give it a couple of years. The lifestyle out there wasn't for me. I'm a Midwest boy, born and raised, and it's a sewer out there in Washington, D.C. So, you know, I gutted it out for a couple of years, but now I'm back home in Wisconsin, and I'm getting ready to start up a 501c4 nonprofit, a grassroots advocacy, in an attempt to reclaim our state government here from the political class and put it back in charge of We the People. And that's been a, real ambitious undertaking here. But, you know, it keeps me busy, still doing some TV, shows like yourself. Still doing a lot of that about many of the issues confronting this country right now. So that's why I said the fight and the work never stops.
The best place to keep an eye on what you're doing in your work is AmericaSheriff.com, right?
That's it. And then I'm also on social media sites, Twitter at Sheriff Clark, and it's Clark with an E, C-L-A-R-K-E. I'm on Parler, same handle, at Sheriff Clark, and also on Telegram, at Sheriff Clark.
Did you hear I got kicked off Twitter now?
Hey, that's a badge of honor.
Yeah, here's what happened. There was a news report out of Israel that was reported on by LifeSite News and many others. And it basically said, hey, more people are dying from the COVID vaccines in the elderly population in Israel than are dying actually from COVID itself. And I don't know all the details. I just know that it was a legitimate group of physicians that were reporting this. And I know that Israel's news organizations and LifeSite News reported it. I reported on it. They kicked me off Twitter and said, Sam, if you take down your propaganda, we'll put you back up. I refused to take it down. It's not propaganda. It's a report on a report coming out of an international news organizations on the other side of the story. I'm not here to debate what's factual in every situation or not. I'm here to report on the allegations being made by groups of people around the world. And if Twitter's going to take me down for that, I'm not going to capitulate.
I don't blame you. I've been suspended numerous times for expressing myself as well. And it's, you know, like you said, it's not a matter. It's for the reader, the consumer, to decide how much credence they want to give that stuff. It's not for big tech to do that. Our First Amendment freedoms are being squelched. They're, you know, we don't have any First Amendment protections as it comes to speech anymore. If you say the wrong thing, you say something that goes maybe a little sideways or is a little clumsy, you know, the next thing you know, you lose your job, you're canceled from the airwaves. And it's a very dangerous time right now in the United States as it relates to our basic freedoms. But somebody's got to fight back. So that's why I say good for you. I didn't take mine down. I was suspended for about 6-7 months when I posted something about Stacey Abrams, that black racist from Georgia, who to this day still maintains that she won the governor's race when she lost by 30,000 votes. So she can run around posting that nonsense and that crap and that lie, and nothing happens to her. And but the same doesn't go for, you know, anybody with a counter view in this country. But, you know, I went over to Parler, the social media site over there, and then when Parler got shut down, you know, I had to go somewhere, so I went back to Twitter, and then I started an account on Telegram as well. But, you know, I think that the best thing to do is to have numerous sites. That way, if one gets suspended, it's most likely going to be Twitter, because the other sites don't squelch free speech and the exchange of ideas. Then you have someplace else to land. So that's why I opened up a couple other sites, and that way, if Twitter shuts me down again or whatever, I could just pop back up on the other ones.
Yeah, and I've mainly focused on the radio network because we're in charge of it. I own it. I can say what I want and do what I want. And, you know, unless they're going to get real hostile, meaning take down the backbone of the internet, they're going to have a very hard time taking down my radio network and the websites that we put up. And it's better that we learn to build our own institutions. And as you're doing your 501c4 organization to challenge some of the things going on here, we've got to build our own institutions, Sheriff.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. You know, we became too one-dimensional and reliant on other people and other networks, but then that makes you a slave to them. So that's a fantastic idea. It's going to take some time. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, that's all right. As long as we get to that point at, you know, a little bit of the time, you know, that's the main thing is just to have alternative places to go where free speech is welcomed. I don't care how ugly it is. You know, let society take care of the people who are going to, you know, go up on air or on a social media site and talk stupid. All right. Society will shun them. Society will slam them. We don't need big tech trying to fill that role for us. We can do that ourselves. And most people realize that if you say something stupid or you say something totally out of whack, society's going to come down. Your friends, when I say society, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, they'll take care of that. And they'll get you back in the line. You'll see the errors.
By the way, as they should. Right? By the way, as they should.
Well, that's usually how we handle that sort of thing. You know, let society. We have societal norms. A lot of these things, they're not written down, but there are societal norms that most people adhere to. I mean, for instance, I like to use this example. You know, you bump into somebody in a crowded public space, you know, you just say, hey, excuse me, you know, and that's the end of it. But, you know, there's no law that says you have to, but, you know, common decency tells you to be courteous in public spaces. And most people stick to that sort of thing. And, you know, but when big tech comes along, you know, what they do is they start squashing anything that goes against what they believe or what they think. And I always thought, Sam, that a clash of ideas was a good thing and a healthy thing in democracy. It keeps from groupthink setting in. So I promote a clash of ideas. I realize there are different schools of thought. There are different views other than my own. You know, I express my views, and I'll support those views, and I'll stand on those views. And if somebody wants to show me that I'm wrong, I'm willing to listen, but most of the time they can't. So what they try to do, what do they try to do? They just try to shut me down.
Well, and I'll even defend people's rights to say stupid things and advocate for their opinions, which may be completely different. So I'm not supporting their opinions, but I support their right to say and think and believe them if they choose.
Well, that's it. And you know, our nation has always been premised on that, you know, an exchange of ideas, free expression, no matter what it is. you know, responsibly, of course. But it's just gotten so out of hand today with the way counter views are being squelched and squashed, and people are being punished for having an alternative view, no matter what it is. If it goes against the leftist and the liberal and the progressive ideology, you know, those people are, you know, they have the whole left starts to come down on you, and it gets dangerous, and it gets costly for people. People shouldn't lose their job because they post something on social media that somebody doesn't agree with.
Well, and the same thing with Twitter. You know, I should literally sue Twitter for taking me down. All I did was report on legitimate reports from other sources and let people know about it. I didn't make claims. But even so, I'm entitled to do that. They took me down. I should sue them over it. But the problem is I don't really have money and time to sue them. I'll have to spend a full-time job trying to sue them and raising money to sue them. And everybody else and their dog has sued them. And it seems to be that the courts are stuck on stupid with this as well. And so it's a very difficult, what do you do about it? And my response is I just don't capitulate to them. And I carry on and carry the ball to the best of my ability is what I'm doing at the moment about it. But these are serious, serious things we're talking about. And I can't say what I want to say. You can't say what you want to say. But the communists and socialists seem to be able to say what they want to say. So you know what? I believe Stacey Abrams and Kamala Harris, I personally believe they're both communist, flat out communist. Now that's an opinion to which I'm entitled. Let's have David A. Clark's response. America's Sheriff in seconds on your radio.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperform gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt. And there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. with me. We're talking about the First Amendment, folks. Our rights are being obliterated, but we got to stand up and be solid. We got to build our own institutions, that's for sure. We're not allowed to say what we want to say, but you know what? I believe the communists and the socialists are allowed to do and say what they want to say. I personally believe Stacey Abrams and Kamala Harris and Ocasio-Cortez or AOC, they're all really communist people. They really are. That's their agenda. And they're swearing an oath to the Constitution to protect us from enemies, foreign and domestic, are at flat out odds with everything they've been doing over the last who knows how many umpteen years or whatever else. Now, that's my opinion, to which I'm entitled, that they're communist socialist folks. They might try to sue me, but I say that I have the right to have my opinion. Sheriff, what do you say to that?
No, I agree with you wholeheartedly. It's the bedrock of the United States Constitution, of course. You know, the thing that these folks need to be reminded of is that these are God-given rights. All right, these are not rights given by government. These are not rights transferred by the courts. And if they're God-given rights, they're my rights. And only I can take them away, so to speak. I don't want a legislature taking them away. I don't want courts taking them away. I don't want big tech taking them away. These are God-given rights.
Now, it's interesting, even though I disagree with AOC and Abrams and Harris and some of these people, I defend their right to say and think what they want. Let's let the court of public opinion decide who they believe, me or they, if you will. But they're not willing to afford the same to us is the problem, just proving that they're not able to handle the appropriate debate in front of the American people about what we believe in, who we are, what we stand for, what we're willing to do, what we're not willing to do. They're not willing to have that for open scrutiny is the problem.
Well, that's what totalitarian governments do, communist governments, socialist governments. It's their way or the highway. That's why I said, Sam, these are some very dangerous times. But the thing that I'm very concerned with is I don't see a whole lot of pushback, collectively by the American people at the ground level here. You know, we're doing a lot of complaining. We're doing a lot of hand-wringing. And in some instances, we're doing a lot of whining about it. We're not really willing to, you know, rise up, stand up against this totalitarian regime, and that's what it is, this poisonous leftist socialist progressive ideology, and reclaim our country, you know, reclaim our institutions, because if we don't do it, and we don't do it fast, because this thing is happening very quickly, as people are realizing, this will be gone. And once it's gone, Sam, it's not coming back.
Sad but true. And one of the things that I find interesting is I see a lot of people not pushing back as they should. Masks is one of the big issues of forcing of masks, not by legislative bodies, the real lawmaking bodies in America, but by governor edicts turning themselves into kings, kind of a thing. But it's more than the masks. I look at the First Amendment and look at the free speech and freedom of the press discussions that we've just had. But I also add to that the discussion on freedom of religion. You know what? They've just literally shut down worship in America, too. And most of the leaders of churches have just simply flat out capitulated and or aided and abetted in the shutting down of religion across the country. It is shocking, sir.
Yeah, they took this flu virus, and that's all it is. And I'm not suggesting that for some people. With compromised immune systems, for instance, the elderly. I'm not suggesting that it's not serious for them, but, you know, what happened in exploitation of that flu virus is the left seized on it to take more of our rights away. As it relates to masks, there are differing opinions within the scientific and medical community on the efficacy of masks as to whether it prevents or stops the spread of the flu virus. And because there's differing opinions, my position is put the information out there, let me absorb the information, and let me decide how I want to protect myself. I don't need government protecting me. That's for me to do. So, you know, from the mask perspective, I don't want government telling me what I have to wear. It's that simple. It's an issue of freedom and liberty as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, they take this flu virus and a whole host of things happen, right? Lockdowns, which, you know, basically was house arrest. We have never in this country, Sam, never in the history of this great republic have we quarantined healthy people. But that's exactly what we did here. We took healthy people and said, you must stay in your house. You can't, you aren't free to walk about. You must wear a mask. We have never done that in the history of this country, and this is not the first time we've dealt with a virus in this country. But it is unprecedented with some of the things that have resulted in it. And, you know, the only way we're going to get rid of some of these crazy mandates, because I don't even want legislatures doing it. I don't want, again, it's a rights issue. These are my rights. A legislature can't take away my rights. So, you know, unless people just, you know, when I said push back, fight back, you know, this is a good example here. Now, if you're on somebody's private property, a restaurant, so to speak, that's open to the public, they can have a rule saying you have to wear a mask. but not in public and not on public property, not in a public building. You know, that belongs to the public. So people, when they, you know, oftentimes, you know, say, well, what do you mean push back, sir? What can we do? Well, there's a number of things you can do. We have, you know, the ability to protest, civil disobedience, general strikes, and another one is just boycotts. That's what I mean when I say fight back. Big tech, we should just boycott big tech. But, you know, people are so enamored to it, you know, the hundreds of millions of users, and they feel like they can't live without it. I lived fine without Twitter for 6 months, and that was before Parler went out. I just wasn't on social media. I don't have a Facebook account. I have an Instagram account, but I don't use it. I'm not wedded to social media, but, so, you know, many people are. So that's why they just, they kind of shrug their shoulders and say, well, I guess I got to do this. You know, government said I have to do this, and government says I have to go here, and government says, you know, forcing me to get a vaccine. By the way, that vaccine, most people have forgotten that is still in its experimental stage. They still do not know what may or may not happen long term as a result of this COVID virus. They've rushed it to market, and now they're trying to, in their sneaky ways, you know, you can't go to a concert without your vaccine passport. You can't go to a football game without, you know, that's all nonsense. But again, we shrug our shoulders, I guess, and say, well, you know, I want to go to the concert, so I guess I'll do this. Well, I'm not going to live like that. I guess I won't go to concerts. I guess I won't go to football games. You know, that's just the way I approach it. And people have to approach it in their own way. And I'll respect them if they say, hey, I want to do it because I want to do these things. That's fine. But I don't want the government, Sam, telling me you must get this vaccine that's in an experimental stage, and we don't know long-term what might happen, but this is what's good for you. I don't need them telling me what's good for me. I want to make that decision.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's herd immunity, not quarantine, that saves lives, and you can naturally get herd immunity. In fact, more of the population already has it than we can possibly imagine. That's a bridge they're not willing to cross. But my response on this is we need to preserve agency, meaning ability to choose, and transparency in this discussion about vaccines, about the coronavirus, and we need to preserve the sacred cause of liberty. That is for sure. Ladies and gentlemen, Sheriff David A. Clark Jr. with me. And we talked a little bit about the First Amendment, but I want to dovetail that into the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, we need to target criminal behavior, not guns. We must look at what prompted the shootings in the first place. Unfortunately, cops are afraid and they backed away from doing their duty in fear that they'll be the next news case. They'll be attacked in the court of public opinion, and the news will peddle propaganda against their law enforcement duties to the point where, you know what, they've capitulated, and now the, quote, defund the cops movement is running rampant. And what we're going to create, if we're not very careful, is a 100% divide between the cops and the people. Wrong answer. Defunding all the cops, leaving us to the whims of the criminal. Wrong answer. This Second Amendment discussion is serious, as Joe Biden puts forth executive orders unconstitutionally and now is pushing harder, leaning on the congressmen and senators on the Republican side to say, let's move forward with more gun control. Sheriff, this is I'm telling you, it's a plan from Satan's playbook almost. This is evil. That's when King George came for the guns and the American people said, uh-uh, and the revolution started. I don't want to get there, but they're pushing hard, sir.
Yeah, I've made the decision, Sam, that this is the hill to die on, the Second Amendment. They're not going to disarm me. Again, these are individual rights. These are not group rights. So when you have an individual, like a criminal or a mass murderer, who goes out and uses that tool, and that's all a firearm is a tool, but they use it in a fashion that they're not supposed to, you don't take my rights away because of that.
Hang tight, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Sam Bushman and David A. Clark Jr. on your radio. We're talking about the Second Amendment, your right to keep and bear arms, God-given right never to be taken away by government. AmericasSheriff.com with me on your radio.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News. with Mike Fortier.
A somber day in Great Britain as the funeral for Prince Philip gets underway this hour. The ceremony for the 99-year-old being held at St. George's Chapel on the grounds of Windsor Castle. Several questions surround the deadly mass workplace shooting in Indianapolis. 8 people killed Thursday night at a FedEx facility. 19-year-old ex-employee Brandon Hole ID'd as the gunman yesterday. The motive remains a mystery.
There was no confrontation with anyone that was there. There was no disturbance. There was no argument. He just appeared to randomly start shooting.
Indianapolis Metro Police Deputy Chief Craig McCart. 4 of the victims identified as Sikh, but no word on if that's a factor. Hole found dead at the scene of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. Questions also remain about how Hole got the rifle police believe he used in the shooting, and FedEx's cell phone policy being scrutinized. The company doesn't allow some employees to have cell phones with them during work hours. That means during the shooting they couldn't call for help or let family members know they were safe. This is USA Radio News.
Awesome and amazing day, friends. Hey, we are headed towards St. Patrick's Day, luck of the Irish. And I want to give a great shout out to one of the greatest coaches of all time, Lou Holtz, who gave me his permission to use his name and his likeness when I used to be in the banking world. But you don't need luck this year to get healthy. You don't need luck to lose your fat. You don't need luck to get off all those medications. No, all you need is to use those hands and log on to EnergizeHealth.com or call us at 888-444-8895. Friends, you've heard Wayne talk about his amazing transformation, and you know Wayne is a crusader of truth and only speaks the truth. He would not be endorsing this protocol if it hadn't changed his life. You need to log on just to see that. So log on today to EnergizeHealth.com or call us at 888-444-8895.
Following the FedEx shooting, there are calls for lawmakers to address gun violence. President Biden yesterday proposing an assault weapons ban.
Who in God's name needs a weapon that can hold 100 rounds or 40 rounds or 20 rounds? It's just wrong, and I'm not going to give up till it's done.
Biden calls the level of gun violence in the U.S. a national embarrassment. Biden also expressing his displeasure with Iran's announcement it will enrich uranium at 60% purity.
We do not support and do not think it's at all helpful that Iran is saying it's going to move to enrich to 60%. It is contrary to the agreement. We are, though, nonetheless, pleased that Iran has continued to agree to engage in discussions, in direct discussions with us and with our partners on how we move forward.
Iran currently enriching uranium at 20% purity. It takes 90% purity for the uranium to be considered weapons grade. This is USA Radio News.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
America's Sheriff David Clark with me, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about your right to keep and bear arms, a God-given, inalienable right of self-defense. It's what we're talking about. Joe Biden whacked out his all-get-out right on the bottom of the hour. Crazy Grandpa Joe. Now, we don't need any guns with weapons that can hold 100 rounds, 40 rounds, 20 rounds. Why would you ever need such a thing? So what I would say, though, is, look, we need to disarm the Secret Service, Joe. You know, you're not carrying a gun because you're probably, got dementia, and that's an opinion to which I'm entitled as well. But you've got people around you that have all kinds of guns, and I think we just need to take them away and get shut down the Secret Service there. You don't need it there. They can't have, these rounds in their guns and all this kind of stuff. Really, this is an elitist mentality they're pitching. They want security all around them armed to the teeth, but yet you better just be completely defenseless, denying us a God-given right, Sheriff.
Without a doubt, and to disarm the people is to enslave them. And I thought that was interesting. Once again, this anti-gun movement, this anti-Second Amendment, anti-constitutional movement out there. You have this horrific incident at the FedEx shop the other day. And remember, before we went to the break, I said, these are individual rights. These aren't group rights. And all of a sudden, Joe Biden comes out and says, we need to take rifles and large capacity magazines off the street. Now they're making it a group right again. I didn't shoot anybody at the FedEx shop. I have never used my firearms in a way that they weren't intended to be used. I don't mow children down at schools. I don't mow people down with my rifles at a shopping center. Those are my rights, individual. this system of jurisprudence in this country has always been based on identifying those people who are directly responsible for something and punishing them or holding them accountable, not punishing people who had nothing to do with it. When people ask me, and I've been asked this before, why did, you know, Sheriff, why does somebody need a magazine that can hold, you know, 30, 40 rounds? You know, my answer is, why do they need it? Because they want it. All right, it's their Second Amendment freedom. It's not for somebody else to decide what the amount of ammunition a magazine should hold. It's up to the manufacturer who wants to make it to hold 30. Some are 10, some are 15, some are 40. And as long as that stuff is available to law-abiding people, that is what we should do to protect our freedom. So it's not, we don't live in a country, Sam, where we have to explain why we want to exercise our freedoms. We don't live in that kind of country. We want to exercise our freedoms because they are our freedoms.
But here's my response to those who would say, why do you need this? My response is, why do you want to debate what you think I need? Who put you in charge of my needs? Okay, my need is God-given to defend me and my family. And I determine the depth and breadth of that need, not you. I don't think you, person who wants to debate my needs, I don't think you need to eat anything at all, period. I think you ought to just become a breatharian and live off of your air. Because you don't need to eat, I've determined. Okay, but wait a minute. You say, well, I need to eat, and I need to determine how much I eat. Okay, fine. I need to determine how much self-defense I need. And the more tyrannical the government becomes, the more tyrannical criminal gangs become because we allow this in America, and the cops wrongfully step down from their duty so that I don't have any protection, my need becomes greater by the day, ladies and gentlemen. That's how I would respond, Sheriff. What do you say?
Well, yeah, precisely. I mean, that's exactly why the founding fathers knew the importance of that, being able to defend yourself against a tyrannical government, because they knew the propensity of government. They had just come out from under it with King George and the crown, and they didn't want that to happen again. So, you know, this is a very slippery slope that we're on, which is why I said this is the hill to die on for me. I mean, that's a decision I've made. They're not going to disarm me. That's the end. Once they do that, they understand. Totalitarian regimes understand. You control the press and you disarm the people. Then you are on your way to enslaving them and having complete control over them. That's what this anti-gun movement is about. It's not about reducing violence. It's not about preventing violence. They won't even punish the people who they won't punish them properly. The people who are using these firearms in a way that they were not intended to be used. Like I said, you know, mowing down kids in a school or on a playground. It's not what a firearm was intended, you know, was designed for and intended for. So when people use it in an improper way, we need to punish them. How about Hunter Biden? He lied on his federal form to purchase a gun in 2018. He lied. We have the copy of it. We've seen the copy, and it's question 21C. I think the form is 4473 that everybody has to fill out when you make a firearms purchase with a federal firearms licensee. And it says, are you addicted to or do you use illegal drugs or chemical substances that, drugs and or other abuse other substances? And he answered no. We know that he has a cocaine problem. We know this, and he has admitted it. It's in his book, for heaven's sake. His family has said, yes, Hunter is struggling with this addiction, and that's a terrible thing, but you know what? He lied on that form. That is a felony. They will not go after him. So that's an example of when I say, look, they won't even enforce the laws on the books. Why are we trying to make more?
Well, and he's so on drugs, he can't even remember the stripper he knocked up. So there you go.
Yeah, guy, okay, I tell you what, he's a piece of work, isn't he?
In my opinion, what we need to do is arrest that guy. We need to give him a jury of his peers to try him for his crimes. And we need to let the law take it where it does with people like this, right?
Yeah, but they won't. You know, he's in a special class. He is an example. You know, we hear so much from the left about white supremacy and white privilege. he is an example of what white privilege is. You know, he gets to do whatever he wants. There was reports, there have been reports that there was some child porn on his computer. And again, you know, nothing happens. The same with Mrs. Bill Clinton, who had classified information on an unprotected server. Nothing happens to her. You know, you look at this over and over and over again, and you say, you know, this, what kind of country is this now where we have special classes of people who, and they're mainly politicians and mainly well-connected people, where the laws don't apply to them. They only apply to the little guy. You know, this, I find this sickening. I find it aggravating when I see this sort of thing, that they want to hold me to a standard, but that they won't hold themselves to.
I also find that fascinating that, you know what, we stand shoulder to shoulder as Americans, as the human race, as the children of God, to defend the principles that make America great. They literally slice and dice up us, claiming that we're racist, claiming that we're bigots, claiming that we're extremists, claiming that we're whatever they want to say. Every one of those lies are designed to back us into a corner and take us out of the political discussion. We've got to be bold enough and have enough courage to stand against that and say, you know what? You guys are wrong. I don't care if you call me a racist. Everybody else knows it's not true. In fact, you even know it's not true. You're just saying it because you know that it'll get me to shut up if I'm stupid enough to fall for it, right?
Yeah, people have to stop being paralyzed by being called a name. It's something that really puzzles me, that, you know, people are afraid of being called a racist, afraid of being labeled by the left's going to call you it no matter what anyway. But I don't understand why that's so paralyzing. You know, if somebody says something to me, you know, my response would be, you know, someone to say to me, hey, you're a racist. I, well, that might be a discussion for another day, but let's get back to what I'm talking about over here, because that is a defense mechanism. It's designed to shut you down and to freeze you. But people have to get over that. That thing is overused. It's tired. It's tiring. Those labels, you know, just brush them off and keep moving forward. It's a real simple thing to do, but for some odd reason, you know, that our word racist is a very paralyzing word to many people.
Not to me. I've been clear what I've said over the years, and I'm clear who I associate with. People who want to stand with the God, family, and country message, they're all friends of mine. People who don't, you know what? I want you to, you know, be protected and have all the blessings of liberty as well, but I just don't want to be friends with those people who aren't for God, family, country. So to me, it's a very simple discussion. It's that simple.
Yeah, and, you know, you look at some of the liberal media, you know, when we talk about the rules don't apply to them, it only applies to other people. You look at that Sarah Jeong, who they hired on their editorial board, who had posted a bunch of racist tweets about white people, and New York Times hired her anyway and said, well, you know, that was, she said that some time ago, and she regrets having done it. Okay, fine. I'm all for second chances. But only certain people get second chances. How about Joy Reid of MSNBC, who posted homophobic things on her social media before she was hired by MSNBC? But they hired her anyway. You know, but let someone on our side slip up a little bit, and they're doomed for life.
We got to jettison the double standard, that's for sure, ladies and gentlemen. Sheriff David Clark with me. AmericaSheriff.com to keep up on what he's doing. I got an interesting twist with Black Lives Matter, and CNN will tell you about it and have the good sheriff respond in seconds.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives? our liberties, our faith. To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman on your radio. The good sheriff, America's sheriff, with me, David A. Clark Jr., doing a phenomenal job. So I got an interesting story to tell you, Sheriff, that I just find fascinating, and then I want to get your response to it. Here the headline is, Black Lives Matter rioters literally assaulted a CNN staffer and chased the news team out of Brooklyn Center, Minnesota on Tuesday evening, and the network didn't even mention it on air, despite they discussed the riots multiple times. Here's the details and then your response. A video posted by Washington Examiner reporter Nick Rowan shows a crowd of people surrounding a CNN crew member. They threw a water ball at him. They hit him in the head. The crew member falls to the ground. Some of the crowd call for a medic, but others just mock, jeer, and laugh. A second video literally shows rioters chasing the CNN news crew out of Brooklyn Center in Minnesota and yelling, "Get the F out of here. We're leaving," one of the crew members says as they scramble and get into a car. "We don't want any trouble," the CNN team says. Rioters literally throw objects, including what appears to be water bottles, raw eggs, and other objects, at the car as they drive away. Headline, protesters just chased the entire CNN crew away from the police precinct. "My team and I are fine, and I appreciate your concern," CNN reporter Mikkel Marcus said on Twitter. CNN still hasn't made any comments about their crew members being assaulted. Now, I don't even know how to respond to this stuff. This is insanity, but it's almost cannibalistic. They're literally eating their own now as they deny reality on the ground, as they protect the criminals and the ne'er-do-wells, and they throw their own to the wolves in the process. This is just sick, Sheriff.
Yeah, but it's poetic justice that they're getting a taste of their own medicine from the monster that they created, as you indicated. You know, when you create a monster, you better be able to control that thing. You better be able to feed that monster. They created Black Lives Matter. And, you know, at some point, that monster, you're not going to be able to continue to feed it, and then that monster will turn on you and eat you. That's the cannibalistic nature that you're talking about. So that's why I call it poetic justice.
I don't disagree, but I think it's so sad, and it's starting to become so easy for the American people to see the truth in who's who, ladies and gentlemen. Look, I'm not a CNN fan. Okay, I think they're basically a horrible news service. I think they deliver propaganda left and right. I think they're dishonest in their narratives. I mean, I think I have a lot of personal beliefs about CNN where I just think they're the mainstream press. They're part of the swamp. They're horrible, and that's an opinion to which I'm entitled. However, look, I'm going to reject Black Lives Matter's abuses and criminal activity and the assault on this poor CNN correspondent or CNN person. You know what? Shame on the network for not mentioning it, not calling these people to account. Shame on the cops for not standing up. But when the entire CNN crew get chased out of there, they're not protesters. Okay? They say protesters just chased. Protesters didn't chase anybody out of anywhere. Criminals did, Sheriff.
Yeah, they're misusing that terminology. That, you know, they're always protesters when actually what they are is they're riot makers. They're insurrectionists. That's what they really are. But, you know, shame on the CNN crew then, I guess, for not complaining to their network and not complaining to their higher-ups in that communist news organization for not covering it. You know, it's that without crew that should be upset. That crew should be upset about it, you know, not you and I.
That's kind of my point. What is the crew thinking, though? I'm defending the CNN guy. Because, look, he doesn't have the right to be assaulted, or there's no justification for an assault here. I don't care if I politically disagree with him or not. I'm defending the poor guys that got beat up. I don't care who they are. It needs to stop. But where the heck are his teammates? Where's the complaints from those people that got abused? Where's the cops in this thing? I mean, there's so much wrong with this, I don't even know where to start.
Well, where's the FBI? I mean, they're out there chasing around these trespassers at the U.S. Capitol using high... using modern technology to try to identify them, but they won't use that on the rioters of Black Lives Matter. You know, look at the incident that you're talking about now that happened in Brooklyn, the Brooklyn City Center, whatever it's called in Minneapolis. Why isn't the FBI down there trying to identify those people that looted? And that's a burglary, actually, to break into a building to steal. Where's the FBI helping the local police in identifying those people? Why don't they have the same gusto that they had for going after the people who trespassed into the U.S. Capitol on January 6th?
Fair, honest, open questions, ladies and gentlemen. This double stand that we're talking about continues. For example, the Black Lives Matter rioters. Look, back in last summer, the corporate world was backing these Black Lives Matters people like no other, giving them big money and funding and everything else. And now these criminal activities happen and there's virtually no accountability. No one really speaks out boldly like I am against it. No one holds these people to account. No lawsuits, no criminal activity, no arrests. The cops are just like, I don't know where they are in this discussion, but the poor CNN people got beat up. Okay, one guy got assaulted, but the whole news team, the whole crew got just removed from the police precinct. Where are the cops in this thing, man? What the heck's going on around here? And what's it going to be like if we do nothing and then they ratchet it to the next level and the next level? Pretty soon your Second Amendment right becomes so vital, it's not funny.
Well, the law enforcement community has their hands tied right now. You know, they're frozen in place. Some of these are, you know, these stand down orders, which I find untenable. They have an obligation and a duty to protect life and property. You know, when you see businesses looted and torched during these riots, you know, those are people who provide jobs. Those are people who pay a lot in business property taxes that support the police department. And, you know, they're entitled to public safety. So when I see this stuff going on and I see that the cops are just standing in a line, holding the line, you don't hold the line in policing. You must always be advancing on the criminal element. These stand down orders, as I said, are untenable. The cops are not as aggressive as we need them to be. And I understand why. I don't blame them at this point anymore. You know, at one time early on, like, you know, in the early days of this war on cops after Ferguson, Missouri, you know, I still maintain that the cops need to continue to do their job and not be afraid. Well, I don't take that position anymore because it's not worth it. It's not worth losing your career. These cops have mortgages. These cops have tuitions to pay. They got families to feed, bills to pay. And it can all be gone in a flash because of some incident that happens through no fault of their own, okay, by, you know, brought on by the actions of the perpetrator whose behavior forced the law enforcement to make certain determinations and use certain actions that might go wrong. You know, this is, policing is not a straight line. It's not an exact science. There's a lot of unknown when these cops go into this situation. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know who they're dealing with. And the Supreme Court understands that in their decision on the use of force and deadly force. They said you can't use you can't view the actions of the cop in the hindsight, in 2020 hindsight, and through the lens of 2020 hindsight. You cannot do that because these are split-second decisions made in circumstances that are tense, uncertain, and rapidly evolving. So, you know, more times than not, you have to give the benefit of the doubt to the cop because of that. That's the law of the land. If people don't like that, they can go and petition the Supreme Court and tell them to change it. But to try to just change it on their own with these politically motivated charging of police officers, like I said, through actions that were the result of behavior by the perpetrator, this is flat out wrong. So, you know, the cops, they're just going to come in, you know, just kind of look straight ahead and just go to the 911 call, but they're not going to do anything above and beyond that. And like I said, Sam, I don't blame them at this point. I'm surprised they haven't walked out.
Yeah, I agree with your point completely. And here's the thing. We have learned over time that, believe it or not, there have been a lot of local police who have tried to stop Black Lives Matter from their criminal activity. And upper, I don't know what you want to say, but people in the upper echelons of police departments from the local all the way up to the FBI have literally turned a blind eye to the criminal activity of the BLM and other organizations and have literally made it to where the cops are just like, you know what? I try to stop criminal activity and I'm shut down from my own superiors, etc. And there's a report on this that locally, all the way up to the FBI, they've literally virtually aided and abetted these Black Lives Matter criminal activities. If you get beat up by a Black Lives Matter folks and then you complain, then they literally file charges against you, the victim, and they turn the blind eye to the Black Lives Matter people and stuff. And so these poor cops just feel like, what control do I have? What can I even do? This is a pattern that we're seeing is the point.
Yeah, these feckless police executives, chiefs and assistant chiefs and deputy chiefs kowtowing to the politicians in their town hall or city hall or county boards. I think it's disgraceful. It really is. They put people out in harm's way every day. You know, as the sheriff of Milwaukee County, I had to do that. I had to send people out into harm's way, you know, with no guarantee that they'd be coming home at the end of the shift. And at least all these cops want, all they want is to know that they'll have the backing of the executive level command, and they don't have it right now. I think it's shameful to put somebody out in harm's way and not give them all the support, all of the resources that they need to do this dangerous job. I find it, like I said, I like to use that word. I find it disgraceful that you would do something like that. If you don't have the courage, when you're putting these people into harm's way every day, you're sending them out on a tour of duty, if you don't have the courage to back them when they're right, yeah, if they're wrong, fine. But more times than not, they're going to be right. And you don't have the cojones, so to speak, yeah, to back these people. Shame on you, and you should turn your badge in and let somebody else do it who's going to exercise some courage and some leadership so that those people have the confidence when they go out every day that at least they got the backing of the command staff and the command level.
Amen. Sheriff Clark, I couldn't agree more. We need to stand shoulder to shoulder for the sacred cause of liberty. And we need to really get serious about who we are and what we believe in. It's time for a gut check for the American people. We better stand up for liberty or we are going to lose it, ladies and gentlemen. These communists and socialists are heck-bent on destroying everything that you and I hold dear about God, family, and country. And if good people stand together for the sacred cause, we shall see success. And it's great to catch up with you, Sheriff Clark, and get caught up on what you're doing and the hard work you're performing. We're grateful for your leadership and your guidance and your support, my friend. AmericaSheriff.com is his website to keep an eye on what the good sheriff is doing. And you can check out his incredible book. What is it, Cop Under Fire? Final words yours. 20 seconds, Sheriff.
Yep, Cop Under Fire, beyond hashtags of race, crime, and politics for a better America. Get it. It's a great read.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Sheriff Clark, thank you. We'll talk soon, my friend.
Thanks.
Be well. All right, ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. Final seconds, just so you know, LibertyRoundtable.com, my website, LovingLiberty.net, our syndicated radio network's website, live and on-demand radio at your fingertips, free. iPhone and Android apps, download them. They're free to listen to live and on-demand radio and more. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.